You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
We are in part four of knowing God, part four of the favor of God. Luke chapter 2 is where our text is found today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 2, part 4, the favor of God. Or you can text the word notes. And if you can't find it on the notes, you can go to the YouVersion and search Mercy Culture, and our notes are there for you. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, it says this: "And Joseph, the earthly father Jesus, also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And they were there, and the time came to her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." We don't make room for the Holy Spirit. We give him the room. The title of this message this morning is Room for Favor. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we declare we don't make room for you. We give you the room. We say, have your way in this place. Holy Spirit, we want you to know, Spirit of Jesus, you are welcome in this place. Not only you're welcome, you're invited. We long to be with you. Lord, I pray right now that you would go before us, Holy Spirit. We declare right now, speak through your word. Breathe upon your logos, your written word. I pray it becomes rhema today. Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what your spirit is saying. Lord, we declare that there's no spirit but the Holy Spirit that's welcome in this place. So every other spirit has to go because the Holy Spirit is here. Father, I thank you that nobody came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Would you teach us your mercy culture? We pray this now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. In fact, Holy Spirit, I just pray right now that you would go and be with Pastor Bob Nichols right now in his hospital bed. Lord, I pray supernatural healing to his body. Lord, I pray he would come out and he would come through this. Lord, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, give him supernatural strength. We pray for Pastor Bob right now in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said amen and amen. For the last three parts, we've been talking about the favor of God. My personal definition of favor is simply when God is for you because he is with you. How do you know that God is with you? It's easy, because you're with him. So you know God is with you because you are intentional about being with him. Favor is a result of seeking God's heart, not his hand. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that a lot of people want things from God, like he's a spiritual Santa, but they don't desire the heart of God. See, when you find the heart of God, his hand always follows, but it has to come in the right order. See, when you don't find favor, you find God, and then his favor is what finds you. Proverbs 8:35 says, "For whoever finds me finds life and obtains the favor of the Lord." We learn that the fruit of favor is miracles. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're in a miracle right now. And last week we talked about being highly favored. And highly favored is when you have a yes in your heart to whatever is in God's heart. It means that you've already said yes in your heart to God before he ever even gives you anything to do, because you're so madly in love with him. We're picking up on our text in Luke chapter 2. We have Mary and Joseph, the earthly parents of Jesus. And Mary is carrying Jesus. She was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And now she is carrying Jesus everywhere she goes. Last Sunday, we talked about in Luke chapter 1 where she met her cousin Elizabeth. And when she just greeted her, Elizabeth and John the Baptist in her womb were baptized in the Holy Spirit, were filled with the Holy Spirit by just a greeting from Mary, because she was carrying the presence of God. So we assume that she carried Jesus or the presence of God in her womb for 9 months, and it led them to this little town called Bethlehem. So all of Israel was under the Roman rule, and they were doing a census. And so they had to travel from Nazareth all the way back, pass over Jerusalem, and go to Bethlehem, because that's where Joseph was from. And according to biblical prophecy, he did come. Jesus came through the lineage or the line of King David. So we pick up our text in Luke chapter 2, verse 4. It says, and they came through Bethlehem. And here's what it says in verse 5. To be registered with Mary, his betrothed, and who was with child. They were there for a time, and he came to give birth. Verse 7. And she gave birth to the firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. The word manger in the Greek is simply a crib or a place where cattle were fed. So they would have little grottos that they would gather the livestock or the beasts or the cattle from travelers. So the Roman Empire built Roman roads and traveling picked up. We were just in Israel just last month in November. And we literally saw Roman roads that were built in that time where Jesus walked. And we saw the roads from Jericho and in Jerusalem into Bethlehem where they traveled. And it's interesting because Bethlehem, you know, we're from, you know, America, and most of us are Gentiles, and so we don't have a great understanding. But Bethlehem is not this amazing place. In fact, if you go there now, it's a little run down, and it's not very wealthy of a place. In fact, there's still a lot of shepherds and farming that goes on there today. And then it was even more run down. It was even more modest. And so Mary and Joseph are going back, and there was no room for Jesus. There was no room for Mary and Joseph. There was no room for the presence. There was no room for God. And I said, man, isn't that a type and shadow of a lot of our churches today? Where we have music and we have preaching and we have stuff. We have coffee and all these things, but there's no room for his presence. See, it's easy to say amen about a church, but what about your home? What about your sanctuary? What about your house? Is there room for the presence in your house? Is there time for the presence in your house? If the presence of God showed up on your doorstep, would you even know what to do with it? Or is our calendars too full? Or is our agendas too full? Are our plans too full that I don't have time for the presence? See, Bethlehem was a simple place. But it doesn't matter how simple the place is. When the presence of God's there, it attracts favor. I want you to know this, that the presence of God and his favor are inseparable. You cannot separate them. If you have the presence, you're going to have favor. And there's so many people trying to go around and spiritually knock on doors and find the favor of God. And I came to tell you, you don't have to find the favor of God. You just have to establish the presence of God. And where the presence of God is, there will be the favor of God. We've had church for the last 8 months in a high school auditorium. And in fact, this isn't even the newest high school in our city. Do you know why we have church in Pasco High School? Can I tell you why? Because there was no room for us in this city. We couldn't find a place anywhere. And tell Miss Candace, who's sitting on the third row that works for the Fort Worth ISD, I called her and I said, Miss Candace, I need your help. And she said, Pastor, I'm going to find you a place. There was a really, really nice brand new school down close to downtown. $30 million something dollar facility. It was beautiful. We went and looked at it. And we said, man, this would be incredible. And the principal, Principal Ricky Brown is a friend of mine. And he said to me, he said, Pastor, you could use it. I was like, yes, we got the nicest facility in Fort Worth. And he said, you could use it for the first 4 weeks. I was like, oh, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. And I went back to Miss Candace and I was like, is there any place for us to have church? And she said, let me introduce you to my friends up at Pasco High School. So we came up here and we toured the school. And there's this big auditorium. And then we went into the bathrooms. Kind of reminded me of the grotto where Jesus was born. I mean, I walked. And they have this amazing football facility that's state-of-the-art over there, and they're remodeling the school. But I came in here and looked at what it would take, and I was like, okay, it's simple. It's not the $30 million facility downtown. I said, but you know what? We're going to establish the presence in this place. So our intercessors started walking around the entire property on a weekly basis, just praying over the property. Praying over the teachers, praying over the athletes to not be injured, praying peace in this place, walking the hallways, praying the love of God and the peace of God in this place. Just started declaring, God, you're welcome here, the presence of God. And then I was at a Jewish Passover Seder. It was the Thursday before Easter, before we had our first service here. And I'm sitting there at the Passover Seder. My friend Rabbi Jason Sobel was doing the service. And I got the little Seder manual open right there. And I get a text message from Sue Ann Wingate, our lead intercessor. And she said, Pastor, do you know what Paschal means? I'm like, no. And as I'm texting no, my phone was laying on the Seder manual. And next to my phone, it said, Paschal, the Passover lamb. I keep reading, the lamb slain on Easter. Y'all, we launched this church on Easter Sunday in Pasco High School. And hundreds of people have come for one reason, the presence of God. Listen, with the presence of God, listen, some of you are going to start small groups in February. It don't matter how big your house is, as long as the presence are there. So look, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what class social status. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive, as long as the presence of God is there. Listen, God was born in Bethlehem. In fact, kings stepped over Jerusalem. And they went to Bethlehem just to find his presence. Hallelujah. People have searched. What's Pasco High School? It's the high school. It's right next to TCU. They have, where's this place? I'm trying to find a place where the presence of God is welcome or where there's room for it. Is there room in your life? I'm going to give you five quick things this morning. Five quick things that are attracted to the favor of God or that are attracted to the presence of God. Number one, favor attracts wisdom. Matthew chapter 2, it says, now then Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, wise men from the east came into Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For he saw the star and went and rose, and we have come to worship him. Favor attracts wisdom. Favor attracts wise men. Favor attracts wise kings. When the favor of God is on you, it's going to attract wisdom to your life and wise people to come into your life. Listen, you don't have to be the smartest, most brightest, most spiritual person in the world. But when you got the favor of God on you, it will attract those that are. And here's the thing, is wise kings means this, the right people at the right time. I'm going to say this again. When you got the favor of God on your life, it's going to remove people in your life that shouldn't be there. And it's going to draw people in your life that are supposed to be there. Now, if you lack wisdom, I got good news for you. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God for it, who gives generously to all without reproach, it will be given to them. So practically, what does that mean? It means on a daily basis, you should repent of anything that would remove wisdom from your life and then ask God to give you wisdom. People ask me all the time, what can I pray for you? I'll give the same answer every time. Pray for wisdom. It's the number one thing you can pray for your pastor. Because here's the thing, is you can't get enough of it. And when there's the presence of God and the favor of God, it attracts it. Number two, favor attracts gifts. Matthew 2, verse 10, it says, when they saw the star rejoicing exceedingly with great joys. Verse 11, and going down into the house, they saw the wise men, saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts. You know this, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The favor of God attracts spiritual gifts and practical gifts. People want to give where the presence of God is. Tell you something as a pastor that I'm very proud of is that we just purchased 17 and a half acres, over 170,000 square feet of property on I-35, and we never took up an offering to do it. It shows two things, great stewardship by the leadership and great generosity by people that obey God. Because where the favor of, you notice that we don't pass offering plates and take 20 minutes every single Sunday to take, you notice we do that, don't do that? Because we teach people how to obey God. And if people want to disobey God and steal from God, that's between you and God. But it's hard to get your prayers answered when you steal from the one you're praying to answer your prayers. And I can say that with absolute love in my heart because I want the best for people. And if people have a greed problem with them and God, it's between you and God, not you and your pastor. Because we don't even take offerings here. But it's my job to help teach you the ways of God. Show me where tithing's New Testament. Matthew 23:23. Jesus said tithe. But watch. Where the presence of God is, you don't have to beg and manipulate people for money. It's 2020. And anyone that can give 2,000, come on somebody, come on, you know it's true. Turn it off, mute it, block it, delete it, get it out. It's nonsense, and if you gave, then they pulled on the manipulation that's in you. I don't know why people are so mad at them. It's your greed that partnered with them. Let me tell you how to give. You ready for this? Lord, what do you want me to do? And obey. That's it. No games, no smoke and mirrors, no nonsense. The presence of God has been here from day one. And when the presence of God is here, people come and they come with their gifts. They come with not only practical gifts, not finances, but they come with spiritual gifts. Do you know on a regular basis people get baptized in the Holy Ghost? In services and no one even prays for them or lay hands on them? Because the presence of God is here. I say this all the time. Listen, if you want a spiritual gift, ask God for it. Michael just sang a beautiful song about a good father. Scripture says he's a good father. He loves to give generous gifts. So let me pastor you. Don't say a gift isn't for you. Don't say a gift isn't for you. It's Christmas time. If someone wants to give you a gift, you're like, no, I'm not, no, no. No, just don't feel right about this one. Just got discernment about it. What's funny, you have discernment, which is a spiritual gift, where discerning the spirits is a spiritual gift, and you don't want another spiritual gift. It's okay. I'm trying to help people. Listen, receive it. Ask for it. How many got kids that have asked you over and over and over and over and over and over? Listen, they will pull it out of you. My brother-in-law Skyler's here. It was so funny. We were out with all of our kids, and we told all the kids, okay, you get two candies at the candy store. Two candies. So everybody got their two candies and went, we all bought the candies. And then his middle daughter, Olivia, she's so sweet. She went up to daddy, her dad. She goes, "Dad, can I have this necklace candy too?" And I watched that guy buckle so fast under pressure. And I was like, "No, we said two only. Put another candy back." No, but he sat there and he's like, "Sure, baby." Pulled out his credit card and put her necklace on and just skipped. Because she knew her dad was going to give her the desire of her heart. If you want a spiritual gift, ask your dad. Ask your father. Guess what? He loves to give his kids spiritual gifts. Number three, favor brings angelic activity. Matthew 2, verse 13, "And suddenly there was with him an angel and a multitude of heavenly hosts," multitude of angels, angelic beings, "praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased.'" So watch. The favor of God, the presence of God came to Bethlehem, and then angelic hosts came and visited the presence. Where the presence of God is, there's angelic activity. So a lot of you don't know this, but the church that was known as Calvary Cathedral, where we just purchased, is this beautiful 2,000 seat sanctuary. It's beautiful. And I went and met the pastor, or the executive pastor, Pastor Charlie, a little over a year ago, about a year and a half ago. And I'd reached out to them for months, because when I came here on the very first trip I ever came to Fort Worth to pray on my first fast, I walked every square block of downtown praying in the Holy Ghost, and then I started driving around the city, and I wound up in Calvary's parking lot. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "Get Pastor Robert's blessing of Gateway, get this pastor's blessing, and put your daughter in that school." And so I started the process of obeying God, because when you hear God, it helps to obey. And so Gateway took us in. We did a year internship at Gateway, and I'm in Gateway elders meeting, learning, and we have part of our apostolic covering. Pastor Tom Lane's one of our apostolic elders. He's an elder at Gateway. And so I'm obeying God, and it opens up all these doors at Gateway, and then I start calling that church, and I couldn't get a call back. And I come to find out that Pastor Bob has been struggling with his health for a while. At the time, I believe he was 81 when we started this process, and so I finally went in there about 6 months of not hearing back. I went into Pastor Charlie and I just said, "Hey, the Lord told me to get Pastor's blessing, and I'm here because the Lord told me to do that." And he said, "Well, come in my office." And so we came in the office and just shared a little bit of our story. He's like, "Well, let's just pray." So he starts praying and I start praying in the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, the presence of God just falls on us in his office. And he said, "Let me go show you the sanctuary." So we go into the sanctuary, and I was just, whoa. It's like, there's something about this place. And I said, "I don't got a church to pray in. I pray in the trail in downtown all the time." I said, "Can I come in here every once in a while and pray? Would you mind?" He said, "Not at all. Just text me when you're coming." So for the last year, on Fridays, I've been coming in just about every Friday and praying in that sanctuary. And y'all, when I'm in there praying, there's been numerous times that I feel like there's something praying with me, even though I'm all alone by myself. There's this angelic presence that is in that place. And I can feel it when I'm in there. I can't wait for you guys to be in there with me. Christmas Eve is our first service there. But I could feel it. Because where there's been the presence of God and people that have welcomed the presence of God, that favor draws angelic beings. It draws angels. Do you know I pray every single day for angels of war, angels of protection to come surround my home, to surround my children, to surround our family? See, why do you do that? Why not? Had a guy online, he's like, "I don't know if I'm praying right." I'm like, don't worry about praying right. Just keep praying. Don't pray to Mary, but keep praying. Listen, if the presence of God is welcome in your home, so will angelic visitations. Number four, favor draws shepherds. Favor draws spiritual covering. Luke chapter 2, jump down to verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go down to Bethlehem and see this thing that had happened." It says, and they went down with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And then they made known to them what they had seen. Go to verse 20. It says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen and had been told. Shepherds are those that watch over your soul. And we live in such an independent, I want it my way. The truth is, it's just rebellious culture. Or people have been hurt in church. And so how you now guard or protect yourself is not letting anyone else in, which that's actually not how you guard your heart. You actually guard your heart by letting people in and practicing forgiveness even more. But we live in such a rebellious state or posture that we don't allow ourselves to be shepherded. We don't allow ourselves to be spiritually guided. And in fact, anytime a shepherd or a spiritual leader tells us something that we don't want to hear, we just go somewhere else to tell for, and find something or someone to tell us what we want to hear. So when the Bible is taught and it doesn't make me feel good, then I'll just go somewhere else and find someone that will say something that will make me feel good. Where scripture says, beware of preachers or teachers that will tell you the things your itching ears want to hear. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be told I'm right. I want to be right with God. I want somebody, and you don't have to be mean about it, but somebody to tell me what God's word says. Somebody to tell me what is the path of righteousness. No, in my heart of hearts, I want to please God. You teach me how. Shepherds are those that watch over your soul. Matthew 10, verse 16 says, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Here's the thing, is God sent you out as sheep amongst wolves, but he didn't send you out without shepherds. Under shepherds, they're called pastors. Church, that's why it's so important to become a member of the church. Because if you just visit for months, you're never covered. You just visit a covering. And sometimes when you hear something like this, if you've been hurt or in any kind of abusive, controlling atmosphere or church, which if we all raised our hand and said who was, it'd be almost everybody in the room, including your pastor. So if you've been in any kind of abusive environment or atmosphere, you think that means control. Mm-hmm. When true submission isn't a man controlling you, it's you controlling you. I called one of our apostolic elders this week, and there was a situation that I needed his wisdom on. And I said to our apostolic elder, you tell me what to do, and I'll do whatever you say to do. The reason I'm able to say that with confidence is because I know his heart isn't to control me. His heart is to love me, to support me, and wants the best for me. And so because I know his heart is for me, I can trust my heart with him. Are you following this? So I don't have to be fearful. What if he tells me to do something crazy? No, I don't have to worry about that because he's proven himself godly. It is so important that you're a part of a family. Because do you know the sheep that get attacked first? It's the ones that have strayed. Do you know that every single week, the staff and I, and every day just about, I pray over this community, except on my Sabbath, I don't pray for anybody. It's true, I don't. On my Sabbath, I just pray for whatever comes to my heart when it comes to my heart, but I have no clear prayer goals on my Sabbath. But I pray for you all the time. Pray for your families, pray for your marriages. It is so important that you're in community. Number five. Favor attracts great jealousy. Luke chapter 2, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in that region, 2 years old or under. Presence of God came to Bethlehem. So Herod the Great, do you know why he was called Herod the Great? Because he named himself Herod the Great. It's true. So Herod, who named himself Great, heard about a great king, heard about presence, saw the favor, and with favor brought jealousy. Do you know what you do with jealousy? Nothing. Do you know why you do nothing? Because you have favor. You don't have to explain it away. You didn't earn it. You know how many pastors have called me and said, how did you get that building? A few of them went out and bought shofars this week, though, I'll tell you that. Like, shofar lessons just absolutely spiked on Amazon this year. You know what you do with jealousy? Nothing. Just stay in your favor. Obey God. God spoke to Joseph in a dream, and they obeyed God. Just keep obeying God. Stay with the presence. Keep doing everything that you've ever done before, and people are going to be jealous of the favor. You can't do anything about it. So why are you giving them any mental, emotional, or spiritual real estate? All these things are attracted to favor, but favor is attracted to the presence. Someone asked me in my Tuesday Q&A, they said, what little thing can we do to incorporate the Holy Spirit into our services? And I'm kind of a direct communicator, if you haven't noticed. And my response was, stop trying to do little things. How can we try to kinda make room? Now, we don't want to offend everybody else, because we got to do a 30-minute offering to get them to give. You don't do little things. Can I pass to you for a second? Don't do little things to get the Holy Spirit in your home. Give him your home. Worship team, come and join me. My last story. There's this couple that are so near and dear to my heart. Their names are Ron and Kari Kerr. They were Heather and I's intercessors, lead intercessors, as we had a traveling ministry for 8 years. And we were in Israel together in 2013 on our very first trip to Israel. And Ron said, oh, you know, next time that you're in Washington, I want you to come by the house for something I want to show you. I was like, all right, cool. And honestly, he told me we had this conversation. I don't even remember having that conversation. And so the following winter, I was up at their house, and we'd go to Christmas just about every year at my in-laws that happened to be here, the most amazing people in the world. So the family would go to Seattle, and we'd go have Christmas with them. And typically, either right before Christmas or right after Christmas, I'd rent a car or book a flight, and I'd fly over to the other side of the state where they lived, in this little town called Deer Park, Washington, up in the mountains on the east side, kind of by Spokane. And so I went to their house, and they got about 9 acres out there, a lot of woods, big, beautiful evergreen trees, and they just have this small, modest home that they built, and they have the shop right next to this home. And so I was over there to pray. And Ron said, you ready to see the prayer room? And I was like, yeah, I'd love to see your prayer room. So we go into the garage and looking for the prayer room, and there's a door in the corner. And he said, come on over here. So I come over there, and he goes, I need you to take your shoes off. So I took my shoes off. And he said, I need to tell you how this was built. And he He said, about a year and a half ago, I was working in my shop. He said, and I always have worship music playing. And I was building this garage, and we framed it all out, and we're building it, and it was almost done. I had almost finished my plans. He said, and I was over on that bench working, and I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. And he said, is there any room for me in here? That goosebumps. And he said, yes, Lord. He said, then build the place. So he called the builder and he said, hey, I need to put another room in the shop. Can we do it? And he said, yeah, just go upstairs. We can move these beams and do these things. And he's like, okay, let's start doing it. He said, I want to show you. And they opened the door, and I'm walking up these stairs with no shoes on. And all of a sudden, I just start feeling weight of the glory as I kept going each step. And then I got a duck under an elk that was mounted up there. And I walk into this room, and there's artifacts from Israel's and banners all around, beautiful banners that they made, and pictures of their family and instruments all around it. And there's candles lit. And all of a sudden, I could smell this beautiful fragrance. And I said, are those scented candles? And they said, no. I said, what's that smell? They said, it's the smell of the Holy Spirit. And I just begin to weep in this little room that's not much bigger than the stage I'm walking on. And the presence was so beautiful. It was so tangible. It was so powerful. It was so intimate. That the moment I left, I needed to go back. Here's the best way I can describe it. It's the most spiritual place I've ever been outside of Israel. So I just kept coming back, and I kept coming back, and I kept coming back. I wrote my books there. I've been going there 2-3 times a year, every year. Praying and fasting. I break fasts there. We've brought our elders there multiple times. Our eldership in our church was formed in that prayer room. What a lot of people don't know is the elders went there when I broke the last fast, whatever it was, in September. And we had this moment where we're in this room and all of us could barely lay on our face in this room together. And we're laying on our face. And in that moment, laying on our face in this prayer room, crying out to God, we had a breakthrough spiritual moment that I believe with all my heart released that property of Calvary to us. And there's nobody that could ever convince me otherwise. It was done in the spirit in that moment before anything in the natural was done. Why am I telling you this? Because now your pastor flies to Washington, and I've been doing it for years, to go to a tiny prayer room in the middle of the mountains that's so modest, it doesn't have heating, it doesn't have AC, it's hot in the summer, it's freezing in the winter, but the presence of God is there. And you're like, isn't the presence of God everywhere? Yep, I meet him on the trail every day. But there's something about that place. And I want Ron to come help us build a prayer room at our new campus in our new property. Listen to me. Been going for years, and now men of God from around the country have come. I was there with Pastor Russell about a year and a half ago, and I woke up in the morning and he came downstairs. He goes, an angel came in my room last night. I was like, I've been coming here for 5 years and I've never seen an angel. You came here for one night and you're hogging all the angels? Pastors and prophets and apostles and angels are coming and residing and resting because one guy in his garage said, yes, Lord, there's room. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Is there room in your life for God? Is there room in your life for the Holy Spirit? Are you too focused on your job? Are you too focused on your career? Are you too focused on all the things that have made you so busy? Are you too focused on decorating? Are you too focused on all the things, the busyness of life? Have you made room? There was no room in Bethlehem. There was no room in the inns. But someone said, you can come use my grotto. You can come use my cave. It's not much, but you can use it. And God in the flesh came to earth through a place where someone said, there's room for you. What would happen in your family if you said, there's room for the Holy Spirit in our house? What would happen in your ministry if you said, no, there's more room. I've made plans, but Lord, you order my steps. What would happen if you made room in your career for God? If you made room for you in your career for the presence of God, where you said, Lord, I'll only take the promotions. I'll only do the deals. I'll only do the things that you tell me to do. What would happen if you made room in your lives? With every head bowed and every eye closed, some of you need to make room for Jesus and give your life to him right now. Some of you have never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Some of you have never acknowledged that you're a sinner and that you're in need of a sinless Savior. Some of you need grace and mercy today. You're away from God and you'd say, Landon, today I need to make room in my life. I need to give my life to the Lord. If that's you, no one's looking around. I'm not going to call you forward. Today's between you and God. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, that's how you're saved. You don't got to come to an altar and do it. But we come to altars all the time. But today it's between you and God. If that's you, you say, I need to make room in my life. I want to give my life to Jesus. If that's you, raise your hand as fast as you can. Just do it fast. Hands up all over the place. I see your hand. I see your hand. Just raise it up real fast. Put it down. Put it up. Put it down. I see your hand. I see your hand. Awesome. Anyone else? Anyone else? Now I want to talk to my church. Hear my heart. We can't enter into this next season spiritually selfish. We have to make room. The same faith that got us into this next season has to be the same faith that sustains us in this next season. The same prayer, the same fasting, the same welcoming of the Holy Spirit. That's not our church, it's his. It's not our building, it's his. Is there room for the Holy Spirit in your life? Is there room in your home? Today, would you make room? Let's pray this together, every single person, so we can hear it with our own two ears. Would you just say this? Would you say, Jesus. I make room. I give you my life. I confess my sins and I repent. Jesus, you're the only way. Jesus, you're the only way. Say this louder. Say, you're the way. You're the truth. You're the life. I come to you, Jesus. Forgive me of everything. Now say this boldly. Say, Holy Spirit, I make room. Holy Spirit, I make room in my life. I make room in my family. I make room in my home. Jesus, have your way. Come on, say it with passion. Say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my life, in my home. Speak, Lord. Your servants listen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.